play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, brought to you by the wonderful people at Fantasy Degens. You can we're here to preview the 2022 Genesis Invitational. Absolutely loaded field, 120 golfers. We'll get into all that and more, but to help you break it all down, you can find them on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's gonna be a fun one this week. I saw somewhere, you know, we talk about the waste management being a loaded field. This field's like quote-unquote rating on a depth of field or strength of field is stronger than the 2020 Masters.
I thought that I saw somewhere that like the top 10, everybody in the top 10 is here.
Top 10 player in the world, I think it was like 32 of the top 50 in the world. It's got a stronger strength of field than any of the FedEx playoff events last year. Which is usually the best of the best. So it's absolutely locked and loaded. But before we get there, Scottie Scheffler broke through at Waste Management. Wild tournament, holes in ones, guys flashing us on 16, which was freaking glorious. I love everything about the Waste Management, and it lived up to the hype and more this week.
No, I agree completely. I saw people though talking about like, why don't other golf courses do this? So the reason is because then it's not as cool.
It's not like, unique.
You know what I mean? I saw where the bear trap is going to try to do some shit, I guess, next week at the Honda or whatever. But it's not going to be the same, and it shouldn't be the same. My one gripe about the whole weekend, dude, was like, all right, hole in one, we're throwing 20s down on the field or whatever. But when JT chips in, like it's starting to get a little bit too much, fellas. You know what I mean? Like it just ruins it. Like, hole in one, I totally get it. Like, people going nuts. Shit happens 100%. It's once a year. I'm all for it. I think it's an awesome, like, I think it would be an awesome place to be when something like that happened. But, like, it's just one of those things to me where let's relax a little bit on the chip-ins, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, it was wild. That was probably the best Waste Management ever.
Yeah, everyone was talking about going into it because it was the best field we've ever seen there. Yeah. And like all these things, and it wasn't even just the big dogs. We had some guys farther down the list that were making, like, obviously Seth Thigala almost took it down. So that storyline was just fun to watch. Like, he did a bad shot, he'd still be laughing. Like, you could tell he was nervous, but he also couldn't tell he was nervous because he was just doing his thing. And he was in a group with freaking Brooks and company. It was just like, not getting phased at all. You got Cantlay yet again, another top 10 near W. You had some of the big dogs like Rahm and JT played great, just couldn't putt. Xander was close again, but it was good to see Scotty come through. That was a lot of fun to see him finally get his. He's like, you know, he dominated his portion of the Ryder Cup, which was great to see. But he still hadn't had that W yet, and to get that first one, it's three straight weeks now with first time winners on tour. It's a pretty freaking crazy, Jesse.
Yeah, 100%, dude. I mean, it's been a pretty fun start to the year. And Scotty, the other thing about Scotty Scheffler was he overcame the most touted golfer last weekend.
Yeah.
And the hex that typically comes along with that and won. I had a buddy text me on like Thursday morning, like it was between like three golfers. One of them was Scheffler and the other one was Finau. I think the other one was Xander, and it was just kind of sticking with Xander. But, you know, between those two, and we chose Finau. Let's just put it that way. That was a terrible choice because I felt like if I didn't say Finau, he would win. Whereas Scheffler, I knew he was going to be high owned, and, you know, just that angle. But yeah, that was that sucked. But the tournament was great. I really feel like next year or whatever, you know, especially with it being with that Super Bowl being Phoenix, that they need to start it like even an hour earlier than what they did.
Yeah, they got to get it done. And I don't know why they don't start it earlier, because the sun's out for almost 2 hours, it feels like, before they even tee off.
Well, so they're teeing off at 7 a.m. out there, like Thursday and Friday. Right. Yeah. I mean, so I'm not saying send the first guys out at 7 a.m., but let's get them, let's plan for maybe potentially that there might be a a playoff that might, you know, spill over into potentially into the fucking Super Bowl.
There's been a playoff like almost every year, it feels like, as of late. It's crazy. So, yeah.
Yeah. And if you're only going to play 18, like, okay, that's fine. But it's not an easy birdie hole.
No, nope.
You know, because the driving is so difficult on that hole. You
play
know,
17 so over and over again.
17 would be fine.
Make them go for it.
I feel like it's just kind of the logistics of getting people moved, right? Yeah. So everybody's already on 18, so let's just play it on 18. And it's got a really good stadium feel and plenty of, you know, shit around it. So, but yeah, that was my only two gripes was let's not throw beer cans when somebody chips one in for a fucking birdie. Yep. And let's start it just a little bit earlier.
And the one thing I will say is I was one of the ones that said, you know, it'd be cool if they did this on a few other tournaments. I don't want not every tournament, but like, for instance, how about the Barbasol? Wouldn't it be fun, like the Barbasol, to have one? I'm not saying put it in like the big boy tournaments, but no offense to your Barbasol. But you know what I mean? Like some of these other ones that are trying to get more eyes to it. Sure. Like let's do those events. Like it sounds like don't put it in Valspar. Don't put it like Barbasol, maybe that event in Tahoe. Like the Barracuda. Like, let's do stuff like that. Like let's lighten it up. That'd be fun.
I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree that making golf
or do something with it.
A better fan experience, is obviously a win. And then also too, just making it more fun is never going to be a bad thing. I don't disagree with that. Have you kind of just to piggyback off that a little bit, have you heard about all the rumors with these guys going to the Saudi Arabia League or whatever?
Who, Bryson?
Well, Bryson, but yes. I mean, yeah, supposedly there's 17.
It sounds like most of them are elder statesmen that can't really compete much on the tour anymore, is what it sounds like.
I think Phil's one of them.
Which makes the most sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but like, I don't understand how that, unless like they can draw a DJ, but I don't know, man. To me, it just seems sketch to be doing that if I'm currently a top 10 golfer in the world. Because I was just thinking about too, like, you know, a lot of these guys, obviously they play for money. They're playing for a living. It makes sense that they want to make more money. I get that. But they're also playing for like prestige of like, you know, I mean, like Tiger Woods was playing to break Jack Nicklaus's, you know, majors record of 18. And because these guys have like ginormous fucking egos, every single one of them, because they're a top, you know, 0.5% golfer in the world, you know. So, I don't know. To me, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go and play in those types of events. Supposedly, they're going to have some in America. I guess we'll see. But yeah, it's going to be interesting coming up. And if the shit on Bryson is true, I mean, like,
that'd be wild.
It would be. And I would be just sitting back going, what the fuck, Bryson? Like,
well, there's a couple guys, you know, like Kiz and Dahman have flat out said, I do this to make money. Like, I don't, like, but at the same time, I guarantee you they're quite competitive at the same time.
Right.
But Morikawa, like, I want to hear his whole interview from today, but a couple snippets that I saw on Twitter that were pretty telling. First off, he said he's all for the PGA Tour. So it's him, Tiger, Rory, Brooks, JT, who have all flat out said they're not going. So there's a chunk of the top right out the gate. But, one of these, he had this quote. I know I saw he had others that I love to see, but this one stood out. He said, we've all heard rumors of this date, and then this date. What are they waiting for? There still have been no names. We come back to evidence, concrete evidence of what's going on. It's an unknown. It's a hidden thing. It's not enough. So it's like you said, it's like they're all talking about, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But these big dogs are like, what are we doing? There's nothing. Like, you guys are just talking about this like fake thing in the sky, basically.
That's true. That's a really good point. Like, yeah, and, you know, and everybody's skirting around it. And like, you know, Bryson comes out yesterday with a tweet about how he's, you know, just injured and he's planning on playing Bay Hill in a couple weeks or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of rumors, just a lot of speculation at this point, but
it'll be fun to watch. Cause last thing, since you brought up Saudi, what about good old Chucky Hoffman?
Then, you know, he on the weekend,
I think he'd be
79, 75. He was bitching about a drop, which I get to a certain extent. Like, you know, you drop it, then you set it and it rolls in. I think that's fucking stupid, but
yeah,
don't hit in the water. I don't know.
Didn't that same thing happen to Ricky a few years
ago?
Yeah. We talked like, about it on this very show. Yeah.
One of those in Florida. And like it really like cost him some shit, I think. But, you know, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Charlie's regretting ever saying anything.
I can't remember who said it. It was somebody on Twitter, one of the golfer on Twitter. Something about he was probably a couple glasses of wine in when he hit that send button. So, yeah,
very well could have been.
Yeah, but the fact he put the Saudis as the backbone to that one, pretty ballsy stuff there, Chuck.
Yeah.
But all right, enough of that. Like I said, I could sit and talk about the waste. I love that weekend. It was a freaking awesome weekend of golf.
It was a great week.
That's what we enjoy as golf fans. And the reason I want to see more fun to it is I'm at a friend's house for the Super Bowl. And there's like three of us there that golf and probably 15 people that don't give a crap about golf, watching golf, playing golf. They were all glued to the TV. So it's like, I'm telling you, like, if you want stuff, make it more fan accessible. Very simple stuff.
I agree. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Genesis Open. 120 golfers. This is an invitational, Genesis Invitational, as it's Tiger's event now. So no Monday qualifiers. This is your field, unless there's like some wait list of guys if guys drop. But 120 golfers, T65 and tie still. So you're going to get about 55% plus making it to the weekend. So keep that in mind for your 6-6s. But lots of event history, Jesse. So why don't you kick it off for us?
Yeah, plenty. Last year was Max Homa's year, 12 under in a playoff over Tony Finau. Adam Scott has won this event twice. The last time was in 2020, 11 under, two shots over Scott Brown, Sung Kang, and Matt Kuchar. JB Holmes, as recently as 2019, won a golf tournament, 14 under, one shot over Justin Thomas. Yep. Bubba's won this three times. The last time was in 2018. 12 under, two shots over Nah and Finau. DJ's won in 2017, 17 under, five shots over Scott Brown and Tomas Peters. And then Bubba won in 2016. James Hahn, Bubba. That's pretty much it. Mickelson's won it a couple of times. I don't think he's in the field.
No, he's not. He is not in the field. He's won it twice. Bubba's three times. Like Hahn's twice. That JB Holmes year was fun because that was the big on the clock type year. Justin Thomas was pissed about how slow that round was. Watching TV sucked.
That was the year that like he slow played 18 or whatever or something.
No, that was at the Farmers.
Oh, it's a different fucking tournament. Yeah,
that's a different. That's a few weeks before this one, but same year, I believe. But no, this one I remember watching this on TV, and he was just dragging ass out there. It was brutal. JT was not loving life at all. So
yeah,
good old JB Holmes. But you mentioned tons of event history, and it's at the wonderful Riviera Country Club. Absolutely amazing golf course, host of the Olympics in 2028, which would be actually pretty darn fun to watch at this course. It's a par 71, over 7,300 yards. It's not that long, but it's long because you can't hit driver a ton. There's a lot of fairway bunkers, narrowing. The fairways are already super narrow as it is, but they get narrow the farther down you go. So it's like, you probably remember when Webb Simpson mentioned it before. It's like you don't have to lengthen golf courses. You just got to make the shots different on a golf course. That's kind of what Riviera does. And this is why like you can read a lot of golfers' quotes, like Rory and other guys say it's the golf, or even Tiger said, I think it was Tiger's quote, this is the perfect golfer's golf course. You got to hit these shots. You can, if you think you can trust your driver, hit three something straight, go for it. But tons of bunkers in play, tons of bunkers around the green. You know, bigger greens than Pebble, but still kind of small greens, POA greens. So they're going to be tricky. You're going to hear a lot about POA putting. It makes sense. Some of the hardest greens to putt from within 10 feet on tour, which a lot of that is the POA, because if you've ever played on POA, so much fun. As the day goes on, it gets bumpier and bumpier. So good stuff there. But narrow fairways, the rough isn't super penal unless you go really crazy, which there's trees and stuff involved. But that's why some guys still will hit drive, because they know they can spray it a bit. But to get it to stick on these greens, which are firm and fast, obviously you want to be in the fairway. So it's definitely a shot maker's course, a second shot course, a lot of approach game, a lot of longer iron game. Most of your par fours are your critical par fours are 450 to 500. Your par fives or three par fives are 550 to 600. A couple other things, you have the drivable par four 10th, which is a lot of fun. It's got the big bunker in front. You'll see a lot of guys almost go left into the trees and chip it out. It's bizarre, but it's awesome to watch. And then obviously the first hole is a par five. It's 500 feet or 500 yards at elevation. One of the better holes to eagle on this course, let alone birdie. It's got a 6% eagle rate, almost a 60% birdie rate. So if you're it's the easiest hole on the golf course by far.
It's like a long par four for these guys, yeah, or not even really that long of a par four, but
The average score was 4.3 strokes. Like, it's, I think if your guy struggles here, not good.
It's super downhill, but I don't even think a lot of people hit driver off of it because they can hit it long into like the rough.
Yeah, they like because there's like a rough almost that separates the two pieces of the fairway. And they don't care because it just crushes, and they're sitting pretty. So you got that one. Just looking at Fantasy National and kind of breakdown on birdies. If you're playing showdown, the 10th and 11th hole, because if you want birdie streaks, are your second and fourth easiest birdie holes in the entire course. So if you're looking for birdie streaks, you might want to set your guys up to maybe start on the front and finish on the back is what I would say, because six are basically five through nine are all 10% or better birdie rates. But if you go after 11, it's like 8%, 11, 11, 7. So if you want birdie streaks, I'd prefer guys on the front. I'm not a big showdown guy, but that's just like little niche things you can check out if you're feeling frisky. But with all that being said, Jesse, a lot of scrambling is going to be important here. Sand saving is going to be a big putting on POA. Course history, ball striking, all the fun stuff. So what are you looking at this week?
Yeah, a lot of that. There's plenty of course history, so I weight that quite a bit. Par five scoring matters. Stroke scan around the green is one of the like things that I weigh more so this week than any other week, because these greens, like you said, are small and they're tricky. And so,
yeah, I usually don't care much about scrambling. I usually keep most scrambling, sand saves, whatever, out of my model. They're all in my model, like at least to like 5-ish% this week, just because usually I look for birdie or better and stuff. On this course, I want bogey avoidance. So if these guys can get up and down for pars, I'm pretty pumped. Because if you listen to when Jesse was talking about winning scores, it's low scoring. The cut line on average, I think I saw the last like 5 years, is +1 to +4. So that just tells you how difficult things can be on this golf course. And before we get into your DraftKings scoring, I want to give a little Fanshare Sports stuff. And this is a fun week for Fanshare Sports to use the tools, because it's a tough field. There's POA. There's all kinds of different niches you can look at and sort through. And so a couple things here on Fanshare Sports. I just did the last six events on strong fields. And in terms of DK scoring, Rahm, Cam Smith is second. Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Cantlay, Burns. So some of the big dogs you'd expect in this field, but it's a major field, so you're going to get that. Last six events on POA greens, Tom Hoagie leads the way. Patrick Reed, who's been struggling and been talked about all over Twitter. Rahm, Cantlay, Brooks. Taylor Moore's only played in two of them, but he rates out well. And then Lonto Griffin and David Lipsky were two guys in the top 10 that stood out quite a bit on POA greens. And then a lot of comp courses you'll hear is a ton of people that do well at Augusta do well here, and people that do well at Wells Fargo do well here. There's a few other courses, but those two stood out a lot. Just if you think about the layouts of the course, you know, Torrey Pines South and everything. But I just did the last 3 years back to 2019, Wells Fargo, Masters, and the Genesis. So it's 12 total events. I just want to see in this field who's best at DK scoring in those events. Obviously, not all these people played all these events. Actually, that's only 9 events if you do the quick math. So Xander Schauffele has played on 7 of them, and he leads this field in DK scoring, followed by DJ, Victor Hovland, Mark Leishman, Patrick Rogers is up here, Patty Reed. So some of the big names, but it was interesting to see who's done well on all these course types as well. All right, enough of me, enough of that kind of stuff. Let's talk DK, Jesse. Let's kick it off. 10K and above. John Rahm at 11.3, Cantlay at 11,000, JT at 10.7, Morikawa 10.4, DJ at 10.2. So you'd expect the best of the best, and here they are.
Yeah, this is absolutely loaded field. I mean, it just gets some of these guys that we've been playing like further down the list here above 10K this year. So I hope you agree, or at least I would think you agree with me. DJ is going to be the chalk.
Yeah, he should be. He should be.
His course history is great as far as like he's not missed a cutter since 2015. He's got a win, obviously, 2017. He hasn't finished outside the top 10 in the last 3 years. And the price is low enough there where like just literally simply a top 5 probably pays off. So that leads me to kind of be more interested in a couple guys who have been playing really well of late. John Rahm. We know how good he is. He literally could not putt worth a fuck last week. I played him in a lineup that actually had 6 of 6. And so I was interested in watching him, you know, get around and play well. And it just never materialized as far as him making a run. Still finished 10th. I think he led the field last week in just about every category except for, or at least he was probably top 10 in about every category except for putting. I know he was at one point minus three on the putting, stroke game putting there. So anyways, John Rahm, 11-3, and then Cantlay at 11,000, man. I mean, it's just a matter of time before Cantlay wins again, right? Second, fourth, ninth, fourth, fourth in his last five starts. I was surprised how low owned he was last week coming off the, you know, the Pebble Beach there where he played well. He finished fourth and then he finished second. I mean, it's just, he's going to win, right? Eventually. His course history is good enough, in my opinion, especially, you know, a lot of guys make the cut here because, like you said, especially the last couple of years, it's been an invitational. It's been 120 golfers. You know, it, at one point was top 70 in ties. Now it's top 65, but his finishes are 15th, 17th, 15th, 4th in his last 4 years. He did have a couple of missed cuts before that, but that was pre, like, coming back from injury, Cantlay. So, I mean, I'm really leaning towards those two. I mean, it's not hot take central by any means to want to play two of the best players in the world, but I do think DJ will be over 25%. So that's going to spread the ownership out amongst these other guys up top here. So you might be able to get some of these guys low owned.
And before I mention it, every pricing area, we talked about last week, course history was like, it was like the third most useful like course history course on tour. I don't know the number for this one, but it's also extremely useful. So that's going to outweigh some of my stats on some of these guys will be fine. But the other point to that deal is you can play the ownership game in a big way. If more guys are going to make the cut, if it's a loaded field where you have really good golfers, you can really play that ownership game if you want, and it'll be pretty spread out with the big guys, I think, overall, which is interesting. I'll even pull up what we got going right now since we're recording on Tuesday instead of Monday. We'll have a decent idea. I prefer Wednesday's results, but just for this 10K and above right now, DJ is projected to be the chalk, followed by Rahm and Cantlay. JT and Morikawa are projected to be the lowest in this range, but they're all 11% or higher. And DJ's only 17, which in reality isn't that bad. So, but I'm with you. Yeah. Rahm's elite. Rahm is great. Cantlay, they mentioned it on the Pebble broadcast. I didn't hear it last week because they were in Arizona, but Cantlay's numbers in the state of California over like the last 3 years, he's like well over 100 under par or something. It is insane what he has done. He has torches these golf courses. You'll hear the narrative when he was at UCLA. This was their home course. He knows this course very, very well. Course history is just fine. I'm hoping he comes in low on like he did last week too, because I was a guy that had very limited Cantlay. It backfired. So both these guys are elite. Don't mind DJ. I was actually shocked to see he's fourth in my model. He's first and off the tee, first in par four scoring, 450 to 500, top 10 in a lot of categories in the last 24 rounds for as bad as he's been playing. It kind of surprised me, but I think if outside of Rahm and Cantlay, Morikawa gets me very intrigued. He's first in my model, first on approach, first on par fives, 550 to 600. Second strokes gained total in the last 24 rounds. He's just – there a lot of ones and twos across the board here for me. I like him a lot this week, Morikawa at 10-4. It's always risky with him, but just because if he's not putting, it can get ugly quick. But you can say that for all these guys. That's John Rahm, like you said last week. So I like Rahm and – I probably like Cantlay the most up here, but my pivot would be Colin Morikawa. All right, 9K range. You got Xander at 99, McIlroy at 97, Hovland 94 after the missed cut that ruined a lot of people. Matsuyama 93, Scotty off the dub at 92, Cam Smith at 91, and Brooksy at 9,000. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I mean, Rory, that price just seems low as fuck, and he's already got plenty of buzz this week. He's going to be probably pretty high owned. He did miss the cut here last year, but fourth and fifth in the 2 years before that. Come off a third place finish over in Dubai, which is really his only start this whole year, but before that was sixth, first of the CJ Cup in the fall. So obviously playing just fine. Hideki's another guy at 93 that the course history is okay. I mean, for somebody up in this range, you know, if he was 7K, I would say it would be great, but miscut. Fifth, ninth, miscut, just playing solid golf recently too. Eighth, 30th, first in his last three starts. And then maybe my favorite golfer in his whole entire range is Cam Smith. Come off a miscut at the Sony Open in Hawaii where he was chalky as fuck. Before that, he won the tournament champion, so we'll give him a pass. His course history is good enough. Fourth here last year, he did miss the cut in 20, but made four straight cuts before that. So I really like Cam Smith this week, and yeah, I feel like he can definitely win.
Yeah, I'm a gigantic Cam Smith fan as well.
Another hot take.
Yeah, well, you mentioned his fourth last year, missed cut, T49, T6, T28. When pricing first came out in the Fantasy DJs Discord, I was like, I love Cam Smith this week. $9,100. I'm all aboard the train.
Yeah.
There's Aussie narratives all over this golf course, because one thing that the Masters and some of these courses play out is they're firm, fast, kind of weird undulations and stuff, but you play a lot of rollout with your shots. It's not just hit it. If you watch the President's Cup a few years ago in Australia, it's a ton of rollouts in that course. It's kind of Aussie golf. That's what they do. So it depends. There might be some rain there this afternoon or tomorrow morning. That could change things a bit. But I love Cam Smith. And if you look at his past events here, you mentioned the fourth last year. He's a much different golfer from like last year on than he was prior to this. We can all agree on. He gets the ball farther, a lot more better like overall gameplay. So Cam Smith at $9,100, I love. He's a big play for me. Love Hideki at 93, sixth in my model. He's a great approach guy. You're talking about approach, iron play, and whatnot. He's one of the best in the game. So just get the putter working, and you'll be sitting pretty. He's a great in bogey avoidance as well. So I like Hideki quite a bit. I have nothing wrong with Rory. He should be very popular because he is mispriced. I know he's not winning, but Rory should never be $9,700. I'm sorry. That's just silly. So he's probably going to be very popular. Vic Hovland as well. But Xander intrigues me at 99. I'm not a huge Xander. Like, I don't play him all the time. But he's fifth in my model. He's seventh on approach. If you look at recent history here, a T15, T23, T15, T9. Made all four cuts. That says a lot to me at $9,900. He keeps getting better and better out there. That third place finish last week where he just made a couple goofy plays. And didn't putt great either. So I think Xander at 99 is quite interesting. I will say, if you want to look at ownership, Xander, Rory, Hideki, Cam Smith, they all check my model out great, and they're all going to be very popular. So keep that in mind. Like the two lowest owned people in the 9K range, Scottie Scheffler and Brooks Koepka. So do with that what you choose. But I like some Xander, some Hideki, and some Cam Smith for me. 8K, you got Spieth at 89, Zalatoris 88, Burns 87, M 86, Watson 85, Finau 84, Homa 83, Scott 82, Fitz 81, Gooch 8,000. And I just want to say, Sam Burns, you ruined me last week.
Me and you both, dude. I did not expect him to miss the cut after the way he started on Thursday. It was a terrible round. Start closer to the top there with Zalatoris. 15th here last year. He did miss the cut in 2015. But coming off that second place finish there at the Farmers Insurance Open, where really probably should have won. He's had COVID for the last couple of weeks. And I mean, he's going to be popular too, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He is projected to be 17.4%, which is the highest in the field.
There are no secrets anymore in PGA DFS. Like,
nope. Not at all.
It's such a luck box game, a lot more than it was 5 years ago. But the other option, I feel like, and you may not want to do this, would be to go to Sam Burns.
It's fine. I get it. I 100% get it.
Now, if you want to pivot off of him, two straight miscuts for Sam, Farmers, Phoenix, not good. Before that, was playing excellent golf. Both of them have been because of just shit Friday rounds. So I don't know what he's doing between Thursday and Friday, but whatever it is, we need to stop. Yeah, like now. Because he's under par both days on Thursday, and then for whatever reason has shot over par both days on Friday. So it's odd. He finished third here last year. I don't think I think he will be a lot lower owned than especially Will. My other option obviously is Bubba. This price is way too low. I know he's coming off two straight missed cuts at this tournament, but he's won this event twice or three times and played well last week in Phoenix. He had like four straight bogeys at one point because I played him. He was on that team that was 6-6, so I was very interested in how he was doing and still ended up shooting under par. And he played really well in Dubai. I don't have his finish on here, but it was...
I think he was second or third. He was fighting with Marner.
Yeah. Made a hell of a run on Sunday, I think. So got good form coming in. like I said, did miss those two cuts the last couple of years, but it seems like we're getting a little bit of the old Bubba back, which would be good, for, even better for a couple of weeks when this, you know, the tour goes to a little place called Augusta, Georgia. I do like Homa. I do like Gooch. I had them both checked off, but just in the interest of kind of narrowing shit down. Adam Scott, another guy who played $8,200, never missed a cut here, has won this event twice. It was weird, though. Like, his first win was in 2005, and his last win was in 2020. How crazy is that shit?
Yeah.
Made the cut last week, sucked on the weekend, played in Dubai, finished in the top 10 there. It's just Adam Scott. I might play a shit ton of Matthew Fitzpatrick this week. Fifth and 30th in his last 2 years at this golf tournament. Come off a 10th place finish in Phoenix, sixth the week before that in Pebble. Nobody's playing him. I mean, he's been 9-11% owned the last couple weeks there. And with this star-studded field, I feel like that could be even less this week, even though he's playing really well as a course history. I could be completely wrong, but his buzz is not, you know, huge here on Fantasy Labs with their little partnership with FanShare. At least it's about the same as Scott and Gooch. So I would expect them to be similarly priced. Looks like potentially Homa might be the lowest owner of the four, though.
What I am seeing
just in that range, 83 to 8.
Yeah, Homa's going to be the lowest, but they're all above 10%. I'm looking at Fantasy National. I'm pulling up FanShare right now because some of these Fantasy National numbers are just not sitting good with me.
I'm with you. I mean, you know, I would. It's hard for me to believe that, you know, like, Cam Smith's going to be the highest on golf or Zalatoris. I mean, I really think it's going to be DJ. I could be wrong, but.
Here we go. Projected ownership. All right. Let's have some fun with this. On FanShare Sports, they probably don't want me giving all this out, but we're going to have some fun today.
Just give us a range. Like,
no, you have to give I'm going to say, number. No, 83. So 8K to 83. Yeah, this is a little bit different. Max is the lowest, at about a little less than 9%.
Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of what I figured. I mean, defending champion, I think that's a – he played pretty well last week. He was bogey-free, the first two rounds that he played at TPC Scottsdale. Ended up finishing 14th, didn't have a great Sunday round. But, Max, if he's going to be the lowest under these guys, I would definitely play him.
Yeah, and see, they have Fitz at about 10.3%, so he's about 0.5% higher than Max, where Fantasy National has Fitz at almost 15%.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take 10% all day.
Yeah, so that makes a big difference to me. I'm looking at these two different ones, and given $7,900 to $8,800, they're all 10% or higher on Fantasy National, so maybe just differentiate below that is what it comes down to. But, yeah, a 10% Fitz would be great. You mentioned that course history and current form, so I'm with you there. All right, some other guys that I'm interested in the 8K range, I am with you on Willie Z. He's going to be so chalky. Like, I'm probably going to have no Willie Z again. I always fade Willie Z because everybody plays him and he usually burns me. So it won't be a full fade. Like, when I faded Cantley last week, I still had like two in my 20. It just won't be as high as I am on other guys type things. Like, I know he's too good to completely full fade. It is golf. I think Burns and Sungjae are both great pivots this week. You mentioned the recent form on both these guys. The tournament form for Sam is one thing. He's missed back-to-back cuts, but here third and 23rd. Well, Sungjae on the flip side, didn't play here in 21, missed cut 20, missed cut in 2019, but he's coming in T6 at the Farmer, T11 at the Amex, missed cut the Sony, T8 at the Century.
Seems he's like taking 2 weeks off, too.
Yeah, which is very weird.
Who the hell knows what the hell's going on with him?
Yeah, which is weird. Like, I even said to who I was talking to, a buddy or something, like on Wednesday, I'm like, where's Sungjae at the Waste Management? It seems like the perfect field for him.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued by him at $8,600. I really am to maybe get things right. But I remember it's like engraved in my head in the chat where Dyerwerk made a point that Sungjae just has certain courses he struggles at, and it goes back. It's usually Pete Dye, but this one he's 0-2 on as well. So we'll see what happens. But I think he's a great pivot at $8,600 for the way he's striking right now. His ball striking is outstanding. So he'd be someone to check out. You mentioned Bubba. I love Homa. I loved him last week. He played great. He just fits certain golf courses, and this is one of them. I love Fitz as well. You mentioned all that. And I will say Gooch at 8,000. You know, he's 21st in my model. And he's coming in playing some really, really good golf. And here as well, T12, T10, T20 in his three trips. And that recent form, T26 last week, that's like a bad Sunday. But T20 missed cut, T27, T15. So Gooch at 8,000, I think, is very, very strong as well. Really, really good 8K range. You can play the ownership game, or you could just wait, like I said. And when you get down like to 75 and below, it's pretty spread out for the most part. So speaking of that range, 75 to 79, Jesse, Henley, Leishman, Neiman, Sergio, Kokrek, Answer, Nah, Casey, Sheamus, Hoagie, and Norrin, who really had a heck of a week last week. What do you like here?
He did have a good week last week. Henley at the top there at $7,900. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2014. Four straight made cuts for him. Not great finishes. Did finish 17th, 38th last year. 17th was the year before that, but hasn't missed a cut in forever on tour. Has just been playing solid golf. Sergio at 78. I wonder if he's one of those guys who's going to take the money. It wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
If he did. Just because, I mean, his career has been obviously going downhill for the last few years, and he's getting older. Missed cut last year, 37th, 37th in the year, in the 2 years prior to that. In Dubai, he finished 12th, 16th the week before that on the European Tour. Just been playing solid golf. Neiman at 78 is another guy that I think is playable. His course history is mixed. You know, 43rd, missed cut, 44th, so not great from that respect, but he's coming off a sixth place finish at the Farmers, just down the road from this golf course along the coast there in San Diego. But yeah, so I think he's fine. Kevin Na, $7,600. I'm just gonna, I guess, keep playing Kevin Na when nobody else does. And I mean, I understand why people don't like him or whatever, but the guy's playing solid golf. 20th, 30th, 49th in his last three starts. Did have a win back at the Tour Championship. I forgot about that shit.
Yep.
And his course history is not necessarily the very best, but it's good enough. Paul Casey at $7,600. He's always playable. What about your boy Tom Hoag getting no respect down here at $7,500? Obviously won Pebble and then had a really good showing. And was in the mix, really, until I think maybe potentially a few late bogeys there on Sunday. He finished, you know, 14th, shot 71 on Sunday. Before that, had all three rounds under par, $7,500. Course history, he's made three or four cuts here. You know, not great finishes, but this is not the same Tom Hoagie that we've seen over the last three or four years. So,
and the other part I mentioned on Fanshare, last six events on POA, he leads the field in DK scoring. So
there
he's not the end all be all, but I think it's $7,500. I'm with you on that one. I think he's pretty fun for sure. I agree with you on Kevin Na. I'm going to keep going back to that train. He is playing really sneaky good golf. Like you said, I'll keep playing him when no one else does. And his course history here is outstanding. So I like him quite a bit. And then Paul Casey, second in my model. His course history is outstanding. Second in my model. Given he's played some Euro events, and that's just so – I wish with the technology we have these days, we got to start putting Euro stuff together, and it's got to happen. But the second of my model, he's just great on approach, great off the tee, great in bogey avoidance. So he's really, really strong at 76. Leishman at 79, I like quite a bit as well, talking about a guy that plays really well at this this golf course, 32nd, 43rd, 4th the last 3 years. If it does have the Aussie appeal, he can definitely – play well here. The one I'm going to ask you about, and this guy hasn't played here since 2019 when he finished 64th. He had a rough missed cut last week, but prior to that, though, a 9th, 14th, 3rd, 5th, like a T20, T15 machine. Sheamus Power might come in extremely low owned at $7,500. And his off the tee game is pretty darn good. His around the green game is 5th best in this field in the last 24 rounds. Does he interest you at all at a potentially low owned play?
I mean, sure. He just barely missed the cut last week. It's not like he was way off because he shot even and then one under. I think the cut was two.
Two, yep.
Yeah. So he was close and, yeah, was playing really well before that 9th, 14th, 3rd. Yeah, like you said. So, yeah, I mean, I don't mind him at all.
I think he's just one of those pivots. If you just, like, recency bias, people see a missed cut and be like, wait a minute. It could be just false. Maybe, you know, he had that great run and we see guys go and struggle for like a month. Just it happens because golf is a fun game like that. But I think when he's been on of late, his iron play is pretty darn good. So I like that one quite a bit. Let's go 7K to 7,400. Now it starts to get really interesting. It's like major pricing. So you got good golfers here, but you got to pick your poison, Jesse. So what do you like?
Yeah, for sure. Start with Peters at $7,400. His course history, he hasn't played here since 2018. He finished 68 that year. The year before that, he finished second. So that was 2017. And has been playing really well of late on the European tour, so won't show up in a lot of stat models. I've seen his name a few times, but that doesn't really scare me off of him as far as on Twitter goes. Has in his last three starts in the European tour, 12th, 15th, 1st, did have a miscut, but then finished, had two straight top 10s before that. So, you know, just solid. A guy that I find really interesting is Cameron Tringale, and I don't think anybody's going to play him. With the current form of this, this is some of the weirdest fucking shit I've ever seen. So his last tournament was a Pebble Beach miscut. Farmers third.
Remember that Farmers week? I told you he was like second in my model.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out.
I remember. Trust me. The American Express miscut. Yep. Houston Open seventh.
Yep.
Worldwide Technologies Championship miscut. Zozo second. I mean,
GPP sounds like to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the ultimate. And the thing is that he's got really good course history for somebody, especially at this price. He's got one miscut in 2018, but otherwise has finished basically inside the top 30 in the last, you know, 3 years that he's made the cut.
Yep.
So, yeah, Tringale at 7,300. Like him quite a bit. 7,200, Lonto. You know, I think he's fine. Two straight made cuts at this tournament. You know, his last time out at the Pebble Beach, he finished 16th. You know, he was pretty chalky. He's been pretty chalky, but he might get lost a little bit down here in the $7,200 range. And that's, I mean, that's kind of it. I mean, there's plenty of other guys around here, but, you know, like fucking Molinari. You did finish 8th here last year.
He lives on the, he's a member now.
Is he?
Yep. He's a member at Riviera.
I mean, I really expected him to be better after that American Express where he finished 6th. And then in Farmers, he started really well and then just sucked. And last week, he was okay and sucked most of the time. So, but, I mean, the course history is there at 7,000. So, of the guys around there, I would take Molinari over all of them.
Yeah, it's a fun range. Like Luke List, I've been just riding him. I'm going to keep riding him. 22nd in my model. He's 10th off the tee. He's top 20 in a lot of the key categories I'm looking at here. And we look at past history, you know, missed cut, but then 30th, 15th, 26th. So it's playing pretty good. And, you know, T53 last week, it kind of fell apart on Sunday, but then a first to Farmers, 22nd at Amex. I think he's intriguing. He's also going to be pretty popular. I've heard his name mentioned a ton already. So a chalky Luke List is never fun. I'll admit that. So that could limit things. And that makes the perfect pivot to the man you mentioned in Cam Tringale, who is 19th in my model. In the last 24 rounds in this field, he's second around the green. He's 15th in the par five scoring category. He's 5th in strokes gained total, 1st in scrambling, 9th in the par fours, 1st in bogey avoidance in this field. So those are like, there's other stuff he's, you know, not the greatest in, but some of the key categories to kind of avoid bogey and make it to the weekend, he checks those boxes very well. And that's probably why he either finishes really high here or he chunks. I would love to know the years that he missed the cut, if he was on the number or not. I would love to know that, because the way he plays it, could he have just snuck in and then had a weekend type thing? That would be very interesting for as well as he's played. A couple other guys. I think Siwoo is an interesting pivot. If you're looking for some low-owned stuff here, he's 43rd in my model. But looking back at him, miscut last year, T37 third the 2 years prior. And, you know, 26 last week, T11 at Farmers, T11 at Amex, T55 at Sony, T23 at Century. He's made every cut in the calendar year. So Siwoo at 73 is a guy I think you can get some nice low-ownership play on. You any wish to go back to Thigala this week?
Yeah, I forgot to mention him just because my model doesn't necessarily like him.
My model hates him, but it's like hard to avoid him right now.
Right. I mean, 49th. He did finish 49th in 2017 here. I think he was maybe a freshman in college at that point.
He lives in the L.A. area.
He's from L.A. and then went to Pepperdine. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would play him. I wonder.
Projected low owned too, at least for now, because people are trying to like avoid the. Like he's projected at 3.5% on Fantasy National and on FanShare, just to kind of compare, 5.4%. That's freaking awesome.
I was impressed with him last week. I didn't feel like he got rattled. I feel like, just to kind of sidetrack just a second, on 17, he got fucked.
Yeah, that was not that bad of a shot. That thing just kept rolling.
Yes. It just took a bad hop. And like, because like they were saying the day before, he hit that same club and was short. Yeah. I don't know if they moved the tees up or what, but, you know, I mean, I just felt like, you know, that really, really but like he made some hell, he made some really good saves around the green and shit. I was very impressed with his game, man.
Yep. And you'll need that this week.
Yes.
So I think he's very much in play at 73. So like him, Siwoo could be ownership. Tringali could be an ownership play. I think Cebes can be an ownership play. He won't rate out great. He's 38th in the model. He's never played here before, but you know, recent events, 14th at Pebble, 46th at Farmers, 40th at Amex, 17th at Sony. We know he's played good at, I believe he's played good at Augusta off the top of my head. So he's interesting. I like your Lanto call. Bobby Mack, he's intriguing because most will just look at his stats and don't know. He struggled in his first two Euro events, but the last 2 weeks in Europe, he's been playing well. He could be a nice low-owned play. And the last guy I'll mention here is I'm going back to Adam Hadwin. He's 88th in my model. So the model numbers don't look great. But again, if you want to believe in course history, which I did last week, and he crushed it, I'm not expecting him to go that crazy this week. But I only go back 5 years in my model, T26, T26, 75th, T6, T34. That sounds pretty good for $7,100. And he's made three of his last four cuts, T26 or better, in all three events. So I think Hadwin at 71, if you want to believe on course history and current form, I don't mind going to him as well. 6K range. Who you liking?
Start with that $6,900, Martin Laird. Course history the last couple years isn't great, but he does have some top tens at this course, and is coming off a 14th place finish last week. Pat Perez at $6,800, played here a bunch. Again, finishes aren't necessarily the best. I know he's coming off a miscut, but when we were on the West Coast, actually on the West Coast and not in the desert. He played really well, two straight top tens, you know, at similar type of courses as far as climate and POA, AT&T and Farmers. So I like going back to him this week. Kuchar at $6,800, played here a shit ton, finished second a couple years ago, back-to-back missed cuts. So take that for what you like. Munoz at $6,700. I've been seeing his name just around leaderboards. His course history is very good for somebody in $6,000 range. He has not missed a cut here in two tries, and has back-to-back top 40s on tour. Wyndham Clark, great course history for somebody in this range, 8th and 17th in the last 2 years, two straight missed cuts on tour. So do with that what you would like. And that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, you can make a case for a lot of guys down here. I'm not going to make a lot of cases, but if you really want to scroll through and kind of mix and match and try to find some fun, you can. One for me is KH Lee at $6,900. He's coming. He's made three straight cuts here and only three times he's played. 66 last year, but T13, T25 previous 2 years. He's coming off a T38 last week after he was a first-round leader. But he's made all four cuts here since the Century Tournament of Champions. So he's intriguing just to make the cut. The Munoz call is intriguing to me. I have him checked off as well. But a couple others we can look at. No Ricky Fowler for you. 6,600?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't have them either, but I think that price tag stood out.
Saw somebody tweet that out, and they were like, that's still too
expensive. Yeah.
I think it was maybe Kevin who said that, replied to somebody, said it's still too.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. But down here in the $6,500 range, I'm very excited about this. Doug Gim, you know, missed cut here last year, but his last few events, T49, T34, T59, I think he's made like seven or eight straight made cuts. So he's intriguing at 65. I love the Wyndham Clark call. He missed the cut last week, but T65, T56, T13 prior to that. You mentioned the event history, T8 last year, T17. He's an outstanding POA putter. He was on that top 10 list that we read out earlier. He's a guy that I really like in this event. It appears he might be a little popular, which sucks. But I like him. James Hahn has played some very bad golf of late, so that he's the perfect, you believe in current form or course history, because he plays great here. He also played great in Phoenix, and that didn't turn out so well. So keep that in mind with James Hahn. I don't think I'll have a ton, but I just want to throw him out there because he's played really well here in the past. But P. Raj is on the list, $6,500. He's made five straight cuts here, T12, T30, T15, T26, T22. So T30 or better in five straight years at this event. Back-to-back missed cuts on tour, though. Little bummer, but 65 hundo. I'll take my chances with that. A couple others, Aaron Rye. He's made three straight cuts, and he'd be a guy I'd be looking at 6,400, first time playing here. JT Poston, great course history last week. He played phenomenal in Phoenix, T23. He's made three of his last four cuts, T25, T42, T23. But in this tournament, he has made four straight cuts, T43, T30, T28, T17, striking the ball very, very well. I like JT at 6,400. I'll go back to the Matt Wallace train at 63. I'm not going to go as heavy as I was last week, but he had a bit of the shanks a couple times, and he was actually out there on Saturday after missing the cut, hitting balls in the range when Sam Ryder hit his hole-in-one.
Who? Wallace. Yes, yeah, I saw that video.
There's a video of him. So
I saw it.
He's one of those guys, when it starts to click, he's going to blow away his price. That's all I'm going to say. Like, he's too talented to be this cheap. He should at least be like mid-sevens for me. Maybe I'm overthinking Matt Wallace, but he's a much better golfer than $6,300. So I'll have some more shares of him this week and enjoy that price point. And the only other guy, if you want to go super deep, I mentioned him in some fan share stuff earlier, David Lipsky at $6,200. If you're going for like kind of a Stars and Scrubsy look, he's made a T24 at Pebble, T56 at Farmers, T14 at the Amex. Never played here before, but when you look at the model as well, he's striking it pretty well. And so he's a guy that I wouldn't mind at $6,200 if you're looking to punt. Not sure you're going to have to punt, but it's an option nonetheless. All right. 10K and above, Jesse, who's your number one?
I'm going to say Cantlay.
I'll let you have Cantlay. He would be my number one. I'll go Morikawa as mine. 9K range.
Cam Smith.
Damn, you take all my guys.
You don't have to. You can agree with me.
Yeah, but I'll give the listeners a couple options here. So I'm going to go Hideki Matsuyama as mine. I'm really curious. Like, if Rory's low owned, I'm going to say this now. If he's projected low owned, I'm going to have way too much Rory, probably. That's what's going to come down to. And then I'm going to cry on Friday afternoon. But it'll be a complete strategy play because he's way too good. It's going to click here soon. 8K range, who you got?
Fitzpatrick.
I like that. He was not my number one, but I do like him. It's a good range. I almost have every guy checked off in the 8K range.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
I'm going to go Gooch at 8K. But man, I'm going to have a lot of that spread out in my line at my 20 max. 75 to 79.
I'm going to say Henley.
I'm going to go with Kevin Na. I'm going to go Kevin Na. 7K to 74.
Tringali.
Tringali's a good one. Like, the more we look at that, I think that's going to be a very good pivot play. I'm going to go back to Thigala. Let's go Thigala. Let's have some fun there. Like, I don't expect the guy to win, but if he even T20s, I'd be over the moon.
He's paying that off easy if he T20s. Yeah,
like T30 in reality pays it off people. So, like, that's why I think he's – could he have a complete letdown? No doubt about it. But he's proven pretty much every week he's better than $7,300. 6K range. Who's your number one?
I'm going to say Laird with Pat Perez being close second.
I'm going to go with Wyndham Clark for me. But I will say is he's projected 10% owned on Fantasy National, which is way too high for a 6K guy. And on but Fancher's got him about 5%, which isn't the end of the world. So I'm leaning more towards that 5% on deal. And again, this is why I usually don't look till Wednesday, when things kind of settle out a little more. If you're playing cash this week, Jesse, who's a cash lineup you're starting out with?
Fitzpatrick, Henley, and Scott.
I like that. That was quick for me, too. Like, you had that one down.
I did have that one down. You're correct.
I like that. I'm going to go with Kevin Na, Paul Casey, and I'll throw in your Henley with that as well. So I'll take those three. If you're starting out a tournament lineup, who you got?
Start with Cantlay or Rahm. I mean, pick your boys in there. Peters and Bubba.
I'm going to go with Hideki, Cam Smith, and Thigala. Go with those three. If you are picking things to win here at good old DraftKings Sportsbook, gets a little interesting over here. You're going to get some great odds on such a deep field. Like, Rory's at 22, which, when was the last time you saw that?
Yeah.
that's crazy. Fitz is 35. You got Spieth's 40. Like, we didn't even talk about Spieth. He's super low owned if you want to be contrarian. He's played decent at this golf course. Bubba's 45 and he owns this place. So who do you like?
I mean, if you look at somebody like Cam Smith, 22, Fitzpatrick, 35 to one, odds I don't think are terrible. Deeper down the board, it starts getting a little bit more sketch. But I mean, you look at a guy like Tom Hogue, 90 to 1. He just won. I know it wasn't as good of a field, but it was on POA and it was on, you know, on the West Coast. So there you go.
Patty Reed's at 90. Everyone's talking about it. Kevin Knott, 75. I really liked what I've seen from Kevin Knott with everything I've looked at this week. Not sure he's going to win, but 75 is interesting.
I'm with you.
If anything, he's, you know, 5-1 for a top 10. Could be interesting too. Yeah, Rory at 22, man. It's that, even Xander at 22, Smith at 22. Like, those are some interesting numbers to say the least. But I want to look at top 20 here. In a field this loaded, you can probably get some nice top 20 numbers, I would imagine. Like, Nas 230. That's not bad, actually. That's interesting. For Nah, Hoagie's 275. We didn't talk Corey Connors either. That was interesting. He's been, but Thigala's 350 to top 20. He stands out as an interesting one. But yeah, so some fun can be had this week. Any final thoughts for the Genesis Invitational?
I guess I do, because when I say I don't, then I would say I do have, with it being obviously a very top heavy field, I feel like Stars and Scrubs will be a popular way to go. So maybe potentially going more balanced will help you differentiate. I do think a lot of those guys in the middle will be popular, but trying to think outside the box a little bit there.
I'm 100% with you. And that happened a lot at Phoenix last week. Looking at some of the better lineups I had, if you avoided the 6K range, and there were some good guys down there, don't get me wrong, that played really well, but if you had more of the 7 to 9K guys, you had some pretty stacked lineups if you did it right. So I think you can go a little more balanced this week. Don't completely fade the top 10 range if you're making a bunch of lineups, but if you want to be a little more balanced, it makes a lot of sense this week when more guys make the cut. 6 of 6 is always important, but even more important this week, where your 5 of 6s might struggle to score to cash compared to other weeks. So I'm not opposed to that at all. And you got some of the best players in the world at 8 and 9K still.
Right.
So it's not like you're looking for some scrubs in that range. You got some dogs up there. So there's no problem with that. It's a good piece of advice to wrap things up on the show, Jesse. And the one thing I'll say is I need to go look at the Corn Ferry event, because some of the boys are playing there because they're not at the Invitational. I don't know who – I haven't even seen the field, but one thing I saw is a tweet on Twitter that Sodeshi Kodaira, who I love to play at like $6,800 on our fields, is 35-1 down there. So I want to see what's going on at this event. That's all I want to know. So when we're done recording, I have to go make a point to go look at Corn Ferry this week, because DK usually has them now. Usually. Not always, but usually. So that'll be fun as well. But we'll wrap it up there. You can follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Entrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. If you have any questions, we're in the Fantasy Degens Discord. Hit us up over there. But until next time, your Genesis Invitational preview in the books. Catch you guys later. The show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody.